Recorded Books and RB Digital present The Chosen by S.M. Sterling and David Drake. Narrated by Franklin Pearson. Chapter 1. Visager, 1221 AF, After the Fall, 305 YO, Year of the Oath. Commodore Maurice Farr lifted the uniform cap from his head and wiped at the sweat on his forehead with a handkerchief. He was standing on the liner docks on the north shore of oath-taking, superb C-shaped harbor. Behind him were the broad, quiet streets of Old Town, running out from Monument Square behind his back. There the bronze figures of the founders stood, raised weapons in their hands, the cutlasses and flintlocks common 3 centuries ago. The Empire-Alliance War had ended an overwhelming imperial victory. The first thing the Alliance refugees had done was swear a solemn oath of vengeance against those who'd broken their ambitions and slaughtered every one of their fellows who hadn't fled the mainland. After 3 years in the land of the Chosen as a naval attaché, Farr was certain of 2 things. Their descendants still meant it, and they'd extended the future field of attack from the Empire to everyone else on the planet Visager, perhaps to the entire universe. West and south around the bay ran the modern city of Oathtaking, built of black basalt and gray tufa from the quarries nearby. Rail sidings, shipyards, steel mills, factories, warehouses, the endless tenement blocks that housed the protégé laborers. A cluster of huge buildings marked the commercial center, 6 and even 8 stories tall, their girder frames sheathed in granite carved in the severe columnar style of Chosen architecture. A pall of coal smoke lay over most of the town, below the leafy suburbs on the hill slopes, giving the hot tropical air a sulfurous taste. A racket of shod hooves sounded on stone-block pavement, the squeal of iron on iron and a hiss of steam, the hoot of factory sirens. Ships thronged the docks and harbor, everything from old-fashioned windjammers in with cargoes of grain from the Empire to modern steel-hulled steamers of land or republic build. Out in the middle of the harbor, a circle of islands linked by causeways marked the site of an ancient caldera and the modern navy basin. Near it moved the low, hulking gray shape of a battle wagon, spewing black smoke from its stacks. His mind categorized it automatically. It's Sir Herzog Gruken, name ship of her class, launched last year. 12,000 tons displacement, 4 250-millimeter rifles in twin turrets fore and aft, 8 175-millimeters in 4 twin-tube wing turrets, 8 155-millimeters in barbette mounts on either side, 200-millimeter main belt, face-hardened alloy steel, 4-stacker with triple expansion engines, 18,000 horsepower, 18 knots. The biggest, baddest thing on the water. Or at least it would be until the Republic launched its first of the Democrat class in 18 months. Farr shook his head. Enough. You're going home. He raised his eyes. Snow-capped volcanoes ringed the port city of Oathtaking on 3 sides. They reared into the hazy tropical air like perfect cones, their bases overlapping in a tangle of valleys and folds coated with rainforest like dark green velvet. Below the forest were terraced fields. Farr remembered riding among them, dusty gravel-surfaced lanes between rows of eucalyptus and flamboyance. A little cooler than down here on the docks, a little less humid. Certainly better smelling than the oily waters of the harbor. Pretty, in a way, the glossy green of the coffee bushes and the orange orchards. He'd gone up there a couple of times, invited up to the manors of family estates by Chosen Navy types, eager to get to know the Republic's naval attaché. Not bad Oscos, some of them. Good sailors, terrible spies, and given to asking questions that revealed much more than they intended. Also, that meant he got a travel pass for the oath-taking district. There were some spots where a good pair of binoculars could get you a glimpse at the base if you were quick and
Sample complete. Ready to continue?